there is definitely that kind of reckless Janis that we think about. But at the same time, I think, especially when you hear her in the studio and how hard she was working, she was also the consummate professional. And that side of her, I think, you really get more of that when you listen to this album and hear her exchanges with Paul Rothchild and really helping to call the shots on how to do these songs.
When Janis Joplin knew what she wanted, there was very little that could stop her from getting it. With her music, she pushed and experimented until it felt just right. Her fourth and final album, Pearl, showed Janis at the top of her game, working hard with a new band and new ways to use her voice. In the next hour, we'll hear about Janis's final year, the making of Pearl, and talk with her friends and family. I'm David Gans. Welcome to Janis Joplin, The Pearl Sessions. Welcome back to Janis Joplin, The Pearl Sessions. I'm David Gans. Janis got her start in 1966 as the singer in Big Brother and the Holding Company. After 2 years, she went solo and formed a group of studio musicians that was eventually named the Cosmic Blues Band. In early 1970, Janis broke from the Cosmic Blues Band and started looking for another set of players to work with. John Byrne Cook was Janis's friend and road manager.
When I got to California in May of 70, and she had already assembled the guys who were going to be the Full Tilt Boogie Band, and they were rehearsing daily in the pool room in her house in Larkspur, and she was, you know, she almost didn't touch the ground. She was just bouncing, and she was just so excited about going out on the road with these guys, and she was feeling so different from how she had felt just 4 or 5, 6 months before at the tail end of Cosmic Blues, which really was like a tailspin.
Author Holly George Warren.
Janis had been experimenting with some different players, a lot of session guys, and during the period of the Cosmic Blues Band. And a couple of the guys, a guy named John Till was a guitar player from Canada, and they really hit it off. She felt really comfortable working with him, coming up with ideas with him. And when she was going to put together the band for Pearl, she, of course, wanted to keep him, even though the other guys kind of fell by the wayside, the other session guys. And he got some fellow Canadians who had been playing in one version of the Hawks, backing up the great Ronnie Hawkins, the road dog of all road dogs. They came on board. Then she also found this drummer, Clark Pearson, who was playing in San Francisco in this bar called The Galaxy, which was a strip bar. And there's a really funny quote from her. She told a journalist at the time that, you know, it was great finding him because he had that oomph, and she needed that. So, you know, I think that's pretty cool. Because, of course, Janis, being the great performer that she was a really great live artist and liked to really get into the music and everything. And I think having that drummer who had done all those live shows at the Galaxy was really great for her. And the band was a good mix of guys who had really been out on the road a lot, were used to being able to, you know, pick up a song at the drop of a hat and all that kind of thing. But they also were really good players, too. So it was a good combination of both, you know, having the feel but also having the technique. And that's something that I think Janis really wanted.
Janis and the Full Tilt Boogie Band played throughout Canada in the summer of 1970, part of the Festival Express tour. She adapted a song made famous by one of her idols, Etta James.
You thought you had it found yourself a good girl. What would love you would be if you the were. I just thought I'd pay for you and pursue her. Couldn't be on her, I'll do what you do. I wanted her. Well, tell mama, you're all about it. Well, tell mama, what do you need? What do you want? What do you need? What do you want? What do you need? What do you want? What do you want? Oh, no, man, give me a thing. All right.
Mama, performed by Janis Joplin and the Full Tilt Boogie Band in Toronto, Canada. I'm David Gans, and you're listening to Janis Joplin, The Pearl Sessions.
When I look at Janis's music, as I remember her, she evolved what she was interested in.
Laura Joplin is Janis's younger sister and author of the biography Love Janis.
Constantly pushing and challenging herself, and how can I get better, and what do I want to get interested in, and what would I do here. And even though she loved the psychedelic music that Big Brother was doing, her own first love was blues, and she wondered if she couldn't get back into what she had been doing for many years. And that was the kind of the music of the Cosmic Blues Band. And then after she had done that a while, she realized that, you know, she wasn't just that kind of singer. She had changed. And so it's the music of Pearl that really seems to pull together all of the pieces of Janis.
Janis was most comfortable when her bands felt like family units. Big Brother and the Holding Company fulfilled that need, and so did the new Full Tilt Boogie Band. Author Holly George Warren.
Well, I think with Janis, because of the tradition she came out of, even, you know, back in her Texas days, kind of hanging out with these pickers and working up songs together, and that was kind of the, you know, the folk blues kind of tradition that she came out of, and even kind of that beat tradition that she was really interested in too, where you're with your comrades, you're creating together, that kind of thing. I think that really gave her confidence and also inspired her. And she found that with Big Brother. But, of course, Big Brother had already started. She was the new member of the band. But I think she, you know, obviously she rose to this incredible fame and position through that band. And, you know, pretty soon people were thinking of her as, she's not just the lead singer, she leads the band, but she really always considered herself just one of the members.
After Janis and the Full Tilt Boogie Band toured for months, they began work in the studio. By this time, it was a tight-knit unit that Janis felt very comfortable in.
Much more than I did.
swear that you just don't know why. Well, honey, I swear I'll always be right. If you ever want me, come on. Don't you know, honey, nobody ever gonna love you the way I try to do. Who'd be willing to take your pain and all your heartache? Honey, I swear I'll always, always be right. When you're shopping around, babe, seems like the grass always looks greener when you're looking over there in somebody else's backyard. So I know what you're trying to tell me when you say, mama, 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 I gotta go out shopping for my life. I gotta find my own true third eye, my Christian identity out there on the road there. And although I may be comfortable here, sleeping in your nice bed with all those satin sheets and all that fur, and eating all that chicken, getting stoned, having a good time, I have to go out and rough it. I have to go to Africa. Or I have to go to Omaha. Or someplace like that. I have to find myself, you know what I mean? So there's this dude, man, walking around the highways of America with a pack on his back. Looking for his identity, right? When I want to say, baby, don't you know you left your mama here home? You left a good loving mama right here home. And that should be identity enough for any man. So I said, baby, I know that you're going to come home to me someday. And I'm gonna be able to tell when you walk in my front door. I just do believe that I can be looking your eyes. Say, Lord, that man finally realized. So you can put your head on my shoulder today. Cause I know you got some more tears to share. Come on, let it go. So come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, honey, cry.
An alternate version of Cry Baby, sung by Janis Joplin. In a minute, we'll hear Janis working in the studio with producer Paul Rothschild. I'm David Gans, and you're listening to Janis Joplin, The Pearl Sessions. Welcome back to Janis Joplin, The Pearl Sessions. I'm David Gans.
Trust in me, baby. Give me time, give me time. Give me time. I heard somebody say.
John Byrne Cook started road managing for Big Brother and the Holding Company in 1967.
I had felt with Big Brother and with Janis and the Cosmic Blues Band that the guys that Albert came up with to produce her, I thought they were very odd picks. I mean, in each case, right at the outset, I wondered, what on earth is he thinking of putting this guy to produce these guys? And when Albert told me in the summer of 70, when we were out on the road with Full Tilt Boogie, that he was thinking of Paul Rothschild, it was like not just a light bulb went off in my head, it was like an explosion went off in my head. It was kind of like, wait a minute, couldn't we have thought of this sooner?
Paul Rothschild began his producing career in the early 60s with a folk band that John Cook played in. He went on to produce the first five albums by The Doors and many others. In 1970, John was asked to introduce Paul and Janis so they could see if they wanted to work together.
When we got home that night, late, after a full day and evening with Janis and a couple of other people, Paul had a very thoughtful look on his face, and he said, John, I learned something very important today. I said, what's that? He said, Janis Joplin is a very intelligent woman. And for him, that was the deal maker. You know, it meant he knew he could communicate with her, and he was dying to work with her. So it was, you know, it was a honeymoon after that.
And when I work hard all day long, I tell you it don't seem to bother me.
I'll do it again. I remember what I did.
God, I love that little squeak before the second line.
What's the little squeak?
Oh, you made a little squeak. That's okay. You squeak every once in a while.
I know. I mean...
All right, we're still
An alternate version of My Baby, sung by Janis Joplin. Producer Paul Rothchild began to work with Janis on expanding the ways that she could sing. Laura Joplin interviewed Paul in 1990.
That was a lovely little story, I can tell you. We were sitting in the house in Marin, in Mill Valley.
Mm-hmm.
We had practiced making making pina coladas too long.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting on the floor in the living room, and I said, okay. Okay, Janis, what do you want to be mm-hmm. when you're 60 years old?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, this whole hippie thing is going to go away. It can be replaced by who the hell knows what.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? What do you want to be when you're 45, 55, 65? And she said, I want to be the greatest blues singer in the world. I want to be Bessie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's available to you. That's an achievable goal.
Mm-hmm.
Not if you blow your voice out.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be in the hospital half the time dealing with nodes and mm-hmm. all kinds of other throat nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, what do you mean, man? I said, well, I know, because I've worked with so many singers, that every great singer invents a voice.
Mm.
She said, how do you know what? What do you mean? I said, let's do a little experiment here.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I will sing for you in the voice that I sang in when I was confirmed in my Jewish synagogue mm-hmm. at the age of 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I would then like you to sing in the voice you sang in mm-hmm. in the church choir.
Mm-hmm.
And she laughed and laughed and laughed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were both drunk enough to actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I sang in Hebrew, my anciently learned stuff, in my tremulous little boy's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she sang in the purest, cleanest, sweetest voice you've ever heard in your life.
Mm-hmm.
None of the triple tone that she developed later on.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, that's why her voice works. She sings a triad.
Mm-hmm.
There's three distinct notes in there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now, if we can work that part of your voice on songs and have it develop into the full passionate voice rather than starting at 10 and ending at 10, if we can start at 1 or 2 and go to 10, just the very development of a song will improve mm-hmm. dramatically. She says, great, let's do it. So we were finding all of that, and when you listen to the Pearl album, you'll hear the difference in how her vocal approach had taken a big turn from the Cosmic Blues Band,
mm-hmm.
where it was just all mm-hmm. and much more into singing the song
mm-hmm.
and developing it. In other words, working emotion,
mm-hmm.
platforms of mm-hmm. emotion.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train on us, feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained, rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana, and I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Travis knew. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, hon, if it ain't free. Hey, feeling good was easy love when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Yeah, good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. From the Kentucky coal mines to the California sun, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything that we've done, so Bobby, baby, kept me from the cold. One day I've near Selena Slow.
That's an alternate version of Me and Bobby McGee, sung by Janis Joplin. I'm David Gans, and you're listening to Janis Joplin, The Pearl Sessions. Janis and the band spent months playing their new songs on tour before the Pearl recording sessions. Most members of the Full Tilt Boogie Band had little to no experience in the studio and followed where Janis and Paul Rothchild led them. Author Holly George Warren.
Some of the tunes they had definitely worked out and were more fully formed, and they pretty much stuck to those arrangements. But the ones that were still a little more loose, the newer tunes, those we get to hear Janis trying out the different tempos, slightly different arrangements. And what's so exciting is to hear her actually come up with ideas for how she wants the guitar part to sound, and you know, the kind of things that she, you know, jokingly just said, oh, I'm just a chick singer. But you really see that she's an equal player, you know, along with Paul Rothchild. And she, you know, if this recording had been made today, she probably would have gotten, you know, co-producer credit because of all the ideas she came up with for the recordings. But back in, you know, back in 1970, things didn't work that way.
A good example of their collaboration was the song Move Over. Some takes of Move Over were very slow.
You say that it's over, baby. You say that it's over, dear.
Some were very fast.
You say that it's over, baby. You say that it's over now.
They experimented with hand clapping at the top of the song.
You say that it's over, baby. You say that it's over, dear.
Paul and Janis both gave suggestions to guitarist John Till.
Yeah, sustain the second. It won't sustain in here.
That's great.
No, baby. You see? Do the second one. Two, three, four. You say that it's over, baby. You say that it's over, dear. But still you hang around and come on, won't you move over?
Hey, John.
Get the third line straight.
On the second line.
Can you do a fast vibrato? Much better. Let's cut it. Hey, listen, let's not rehearse it no more. Let's put it on tape.
Yeah, the chick singer's losing her voice.
Okay, the chick singer's got the tape.
Here's the final version that came out of working on the arrangement. Sung by Janis Joplin. Coming up, the nickname Pearl and a lot more music. I'm David Gans, and you're listening to Janis Joplin, The Pearl Sessions. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Janis Joplin, The Pearl Sessions. I'm David Gans. John Byrne Cook is a writer, photographer, and was Janis's road manager.
She had this mission. She said that she wanted a nickname, and we sort of tried out various things. And she, I mean, she wanted something kind of like the hooker with the gold pumps, you know, Rose or Pearl, and there was another one that was in the running. I remember Rose. And we sort of tried them out, and Pearl that was the one that stuck. But it was clear from how she wanted the name to be used and how it was used among us that this was an intimate name. In fact, she said at one point, this is a name that my friends can call me so they don't have to deal with Janis Joplin, you know, the public perception, the star, all of the freight that that carried with it. She actually said in an interview when a reporter asked about it, she said, that name isn't for the public, you know. And there have been interpretations, I think, starting with Myra Friedman's book. It's kind of a different spin put on it, that she wanted, you know, she wanted the name to be known by the public as if she was, I don't know, whatever kind of, you know, persona that sort of nickname meant. But that's not what it meant to us.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing $4 is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Mercedes Benz, sung by Janis Joplin. Laura Joplin wrote the biography Love Janis about her older sister. She interviewed the producer of Pearl, Paul Rothchild, about the rise.
He was saying during the 60s, being successful and entering that level was kind of like Camelot. And it was a golden era of marvelous possibilities. And so people that had been hand-to-mouth one minute were now fabulously wealthy. And it's as though it was a belief that the world was saying, yes, you're right. These are the right ideas. This is the right music. What you're doing is the future of the world. And it was all coming back to them in the sense of fame and celebrity, being asked your opinion. You know, when, you know, a few weeks before, you know, you were eating a burger at Denny's and, you know, now all of a sudden you're on Dick Cavett. So there was a big contrast. I've heard people say that Janis loved it. I mean, she painted the Porsche that she bought. And remember, she's the top of the world singer, successful. She buys a 3-year-old Porsche. She didn't buy a new Porsche. So she's a cautious person financially. But she buys that Porsche and she has it painted wild psychedelic. So that anywhere she went in the Bay Area, everybody knew that Janis was here. You know, so that's not someone who's hiding out. That's someone who is in love with being loved. But I do think that there was a period when, you know, people start chasing you after the show at, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning, and where you can never be sure if people are over at your house because they want to visit with you, or if they just want to come over and sponge some drugs or, you know, hang out and be around people. So I think there was a conflict, and I think that you can see that in her lifestyle, some in her letters. She talks about fame and how for a long time she said at first, I never really wanted to be famous, but then she says, no, I really wanted to be famous. I wanted to be number one. But that when you get there, it has a lot less meaning. And then you have to figure out how to live. And that's where she was.
Taking a very big gamble, a little sorrow. But then who cares, baby? Cause we may not be here tomorrow. And if anybody comes along, they're gonna give you some love and affection. I'd say get it while you can.
Alternate version of Get It While You Can, performed by Janis Joplin with the Full Tilt Boogie Band. I'm David Gans, and you're listening to Janis Joplin, The Pearl Sessions. By 1970, Janis was 27 years old and growing personally as well as musically.
I think that what we see is a general maturing in Janis.
Author Laura Joplin.
She'd been through so many different experiences in music and had finally, I think, begun to trust her ability to make this work. And she was settling into making it a long-term commitment and making the kind of choices that you make when you say, well, I want to set this up financially so that I can save for the future, and I want to have band members around me that support the lifestyle I want to be in and can work with me at the level I want to. And part of that was saying, and I want to have a home. I want to have a place that's mine and that's beautiful and makes me feel good and gets me away from the fan public image that kind of followed her around San Francisco.
Janis experimented and struggled with drugs over the years. It got much more difficult for everyone in the late 60s when heroin became more popular in the rock and roll world.
So as early as 1969, people were talking about how do you quit? And working at that, there was no movement towards sobriety. There weren't treatment programs and 12-step groups around to say, well, this is what you do. They were before that. And she went to doctors, and she certainly talked among her friends and worked at it. And in the year of her 27th year, she had been clean for much of the year. 6-7 months prior to her death, and it was only the the last week of her life that one of her friends came to town and kind of, you know, talked her into using a little bit again.
Janis overdosed in October of 1970 with the Pearl album still incomplete. Paul Rothchild and the band continue to work on the tracks in honor of Janis's memory. Woman Left Lonely, sung by Janis Joplin. Author Holly George Warren.
A lot of people don't think about it, but the way she approached the song, the way she threw herself into it, her vocal range, the emotion, that's lived on not just in female artists, but also artists like Robert Plant, Axl Rose. When you see male singers like that, you're like, wow, you know, they're following after Janis. And Robert Plant has talked about that. In fact, she even, you know, gave him advice on how to protect his voice when he was really belting it out and everything, you know, little, you know, things to drink to keep his throat coated and stuff like that, besides Southern Comfort, I think. So, you know, this is such a great last testament that she left us, you know, sonically, to hear all these different voices from her. She blazed the trail for a lot of artists.
Mm-hmm.
Janis Joplin, The Pearl Sessions, was produced by Joyride Media. Paul Chufo and Joshua Jackson are the producers. Our executive producer is Eric Mulk. Our associate producer is Andy Kahn. All songs on this program can be found on the Columbia Legacy Recordings release, Janis Joplin, The Pearl Sessions. Special thanks go to Adam Block, Jim Parham, Marissa Magliola, Adam Farber, Jeff Jampol, Laura Joplin, Kenny Neems, Mike Birdsill, Sam Andrew, Wavy Gravy, and Heidi Neff Chufo. I'm David Gans. Thank you for listening.
It really didn't matter if she had a kazoo and a washboard behind her. She could do the same great show and sing exactly the same songs and deliver the same kind of thrill.
I'm David Gans. Join us for Janis Joplin, The Pearl Sessions, an hour of talk and rare studio outtakes by the Queen of Rock and Roll.
busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train on us, feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained, rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana, and I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Travis knew. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Hey, feeling good was easy long when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Yeah, good enough for me and my Bobby, From the Kentucky coal mines to the California sun, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything that we've done, so Bobby, baby, kept me from the cold. One day I've knelt Selena slow, I let him slip away. He's looking for that home, I hope he finds it. But I'm training on my tomorrows for one single yesterday, to be holding Bobby's body next to mine. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, that's all that Bobby left.
You you're taking a gamble on getting some sun. But who knows, baby? Cause we may not be here tomorrow. And if anybody comes along, he's gonna give you any love and affection. I'd say, get it wild. You turn your back on love. Sweet back on love. Back on.